We pray. Heavenly Father, God of all grace, you use all things to accomplish your holy and good purposes. So, dear Lord, in our lives, in our best days and our triumphs, and in our tragedies and worst days, use them all to fulfill your good and gracious promises and purposes in us and through us. Guide us ever closer to you, dear Lord, that we might be bound in faith and in your eternal love for time and for all eternity, in Christ our Savior. Amen. I can remember when I was in high school, I went to see the first showing of that movie, The Exorcist. Oh, it scared the bejeebers out of me. It was kind of a scary time. For most Americans, I think we didn't realize that such things happened as demon possession. I think it was even scarier for us to realize that this movie was all spun off of a real-life event, supposedly. And so that was kind of a sobering wake-up. There is that terrible life of demon possession, a life of torture and darkness and evil, where there's nothing but pain and panic and helplessness. Wow. The gospel writers Mark and Luke tell us that Mary Magdalene was possessed by 7 demons. Ooh. They don't tell us how long of her life she was possessed, and they don't record how they tortured her at their hands. But what they do record is that Jesus cast out those 7 demons. Cast them out with a word. Immediately. Can you imagine what a change that brought about for Mary? One moment she's truly experiencing a piece of hell right here on earth. And in a flash, with a single word, she is transported to being healthy, stable, happy, sitting before God Himself, her Savior Jesus, in her right mind and body. In an instant, in a twinkling of an eye, as the words sprung from Jesus' lips, everything changed. Mary was healed, and from then on she followed Jesus and supported him in all of his needs. One of those traveling companions that worked so that he could have his ministry. She heard Jesus' words. She saw his miracles. She believed in him being more than just a healer, but that he was her Savior. For Mary Magdalene, nothing mattered in this life as much as her Savior, Jesus. That's why it was also so profound on that day when pain and panic of an evil sort once again descended upon her, when she saw the Romans crucify her Lord. Oh, the darkness. She was standing at the foot of the cross along with Jesus' mother, Mary, listening to his words and watching him die. She was there to see how Joseph and Nicodemus took Jesus' body down and put it in the tomb and rolled the stone there. I suspect that she went home on Friday and cried all Friday, probably all Saturday, and on into Sunday morning, feeling she would never stop crying. Mary Magdalene wanted her Savior back. How could this be? How could they go on? It's such a huge loss. Mary Magdalene and Jesus' mother and Salome ran out to the tomb early in the morning with spices to anoint the dead body. They wanted to see it one more time. They wanted to touch it one more time. They wanted somehow to be able to say goodbye to him. He had done so much for them. And they had such complete trust in him. But now he was dead. What would this mean? Just when it seemed like things couldn't possibly get any worse, they made their way out to the tomb, and here the tomb is empty. Talk about wound on top of wound. It's not enough that they kill the Lord of glory. Now someone swipes his body and desecrates his grave. How could this be? I suspect that Mary was close to hysterical. And between the uncontrollable crying and the panic in her eyes, Mary pleaded to have her Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." To me, that request seems odd. What is Mary going to do with a dead body? Is she going to have the strength and the wherewithal to schlep it back into the tomb, to clean it, to roll the stone back over the cover of the tomb? Maybe, but I think she's just not logically thinking out what she'd have to do. She's simply just crying out to have her Jesus, not knowing where any of this is going to get her. But notice Mary Magdalene was still looking for a dead Jesus. Even though Jesus had told her and the other disciples several times he was going to rise from the dead on the third day, his words were blocked out of Mary's memory by the sight of him dying on the cross. You know, something about death seems so permanent, but it's not. She could think of nothing else. Mary was a believer in crisis. She believed in Jesus as her Lord and her Savior, but his death seemed to challenge her trust. Who is this I'm really trusting in? Like a gray cloud, confusion just enveloped her, and she wasn't sure what to think about anything. Would she lose her faith? How would she make sense of all this? All this that had so crushed her heart. But notice what Mary did. God's grace to her was not without effect. In her hour of darkness, she goes in search of the light, her Jesus. Only in him would any of this make sense. Are we sometimes believers in crisis? Our Savior is all-loving, all-knowing, all-powerful. We know that for sure. He came into this world to save us from our sins, to make us children of God, his brothers and sisters. That we are confident of. And yet, some days it doesn't feel like that. Some days it doesn't feel like Jesus is alive and active, protecting and preserving us. Some days, like when we might have to bury a child, when a spouse walks out on the marriage, when we're suffering from crippled migraines day after day, or birth defects or seizures. We may wonder, where is our Savior when robbers empty our house, or business associates empty our bank accounts? Troubles that just shake us to our core, when internet ghosts steal our identity, or internet bullies harass us over and over again. We might feel abandoned from God and from the world when family members beat us up and torture us with their words or with their fists or with sex. We might feel like God has forgotten us if we're enslaved in poverty or addiction, or when we're afraid to go outside of our door because of drive-by shootings or backpack bombings or the new next epidemic disease that's spreading throughout the world. When we are in crisis, what do we do? When we have a crisis in faith, what do we do? When it feels like Jesus is dead, not able to help or not willing to help, what do we do? Do we give up? Do we close our Bible and forget on reading? Do we lose our faith? Is God's grace to us without effect? Or do we do what Mary Magdalene did? Move toward the light. Go in search of our Jesus who has found us and made us his own. Jesus didn't leave Mary Magdalene in her agony very long. No, Jesus said to her, "Mary." With a single word, Jesus broke through her pain and shattered the flashbacks of his crucifixion. Much like with a single word, he cast out her seven demons. Now with a single word, he cast out her doubts and fears. Mary was jolted from the deepest depths of agony up to the highest heights of the cloud. She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni." Mary pleaded to have her Jesus, but she never thought she would see him alive. In grief, she was looking for her dead Jesus. But in joy, she found her living Savior. Just like us. She saw him dead with her very own eyes. She was a witness to it. But with those very same eyes, she saw him alive, standing there, talking to her, calling her by name. She saw him now with a new set of eyes. And oh, was she willing to tell the world? You see, Jesus' resurrection changed everything for her. And for us. Her pain, which seemed so real and insurmountable, disappeared like smoke in the breeze. In Jesus' words, we see how excited Mary truly was. "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father." She was ecstatic to hold on to her living Jesus once again. Mary's tears of sorrow turned to tears of joy and delight. And especially as she pondered what he had endured and what he had accomplished through his suffering and grief. All sins are terrible, evil, of the devil, attacks on our holy God. Jesus suffered beyond comparison to pay for each and every one. Have our actions led to the death of somebody else? Jesus paid for that sin. We are forgiven. Have we walked out on our spouse, either legally or emotionally? Jesus has paid for that sin. We are forgiven. Have we taken what is not ours, either from somebody's home or from their bank account? Jesus has paid for that sin. We are forgiven. Have we been on the internet, busy bullying, gossiping, destroying somebody's reputation, or feeding sinful lusts? Jesus has paid for those sins. We are forgiven. If we are the guilty one of slamming someone with our words or with our fists, if we are the guilty ones who have turned God's gift of sex into something wicked and bitter, if we are the ones who have trapped ourselves or others in a life of poverty or addiction, Jesus paid for those sins. We are forgiven. Isn't it remarkable? The very moment Mary Magdalene realized that Jesus was alive, Jesus used that opportunity to spell out exactly why he had done all these things. Tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. What a message he had given to Mary to proclaim. The Lord of heaven and earth is our God and our Father. What good news. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Savior. And Jesus is very much alive. What a miracle of grace God had brought into Mary's life, taking her from demon possession to being the very witness of Jesus' resurrection. That very same grace he has for you and me. Next time we feel crushed like Mary Magdalene, are we going to stay at home, cocoon in our misery and suffering, assume that Jesus is dead or off duty or out of action, uncaring, unable? Or will God's grace have a different effect in our hearts and lives? And move us to do what Mary did, to seek out that light in the midst of our darkness, to search for our Jesus through the pages of his word, to hold on to him and every word that comes from the mouth of God, because there is life and light and peace. Jesus, too, will call us by name and dispel all of our doubts and fears and sorrows. He invites us, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I'm glad that the movie Exorcist wasn't my biography. That's good. And we're also happy that the Holy Spirit has released us from any control of Satan and the demons the moment he gave us faith in him, created a new child of God within us. He cannot control us. He cannot harm us. Oh, that we too would have an eternal grip on our Savior and not let anything get between us and him. In our best days, in our worst days, that he might draw us ever closer to him as we go in search of our Savior through the pages of his word. And let that word bring the peace that comes only from the Lord. That word that lifts us up on the wings of eagles and renews in us the joy of salvation. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, merciful Lord, our times are in your hands. Work in all things of life your good and gracious will. But in all things of life, dear Lord, draw us ever closer to you, deeper into your word, that we might rejoice at the sound of your name. Bless us, dear Lord, and quiet the storms. Bring us that peace that comes only from you, that holy rest, that Sabbath rest that is in you and in your grace, now and forever, to your glory. Amen.